Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we have with us one of the stars of the Washington Free Beacon's investigative reportorial team. He is Adam Credo. His beat has been national security, along with our mutual friend and colleague Bill Gertz, has been doing incalculably important work. In particular, I was anxious to talk with him about a story that he has in the Beacon today that we touched on with Diana West a moment ago, but I want to get more of the details and background to it, if I can, with him now, namely this House Democratic Caucus Information Technology Scandal. And it's great to have the author of a piece describing the congressional investigation that we hope may now get underway with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Adam Credo, good to have you, sir. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So you have in your article information about Ron DeSantis, one of the more serious and I think influential members of the House of Representatives these days, who has indicated he's anxious now to finally get a briefing on what is going on here involving Debbie Wasserman Schultz and many other House Democrats and some Pakistani nationals. Would you give us quickly the background to all of this, Adam Credo?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I think you're right. Congressman DeSantis certainly has emerged as a leading voice on this issue and also several other pressing matters that we can discuss. But essentially, DeSantis, I think, represents the voice of a lot of Republican members who are really, to be quite honest and put it in layman's terms, freaked out about what happened with Wasserman Schultz and the other Democratic caucus members who would hire these Pakistani IT people, one who tried to flee the country, seems to have at least embezzled or stolen certain amounts of money. But more importantly, this individual and other family members seem to have had access to sensitive, privileged congressional information, particularly, mind you, information networks tied to the House Foreign Affairs Committee. So there would be very sensitive intelligence there. And DeSantis is concerned. And again, I think he represents others in Congress. He's concerned that the criminal investigation, that is the Capitol Police, are taking too long to investigate this. And he wants Congress to start its own investigation. That could include testimony from Wasserman Schultz, who has pretty much stonewalled on this issue and not answered questions that are pressing. And it seems that DeSantis wants them to, one, do this sooner rather than later, and two, attempt to get to the bottom of what seems to be a scandal. And Congressman Louis Gohmert also mentioned this, that the access to privileged information could potentially put into compromising position scores of not just Democratic, but also Republican members of Congress.
Interesting. Speaking of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, though, she apparently basically put this character Imran Awan in business and helped get his team in place with other members of the House Democratic Caucus. And she's not only been apparently stonewalling, it seemed as though she was actually threatening the chief of the Capitol Police in a public setting recently with unspecified consequences. I mean, it was kind of almost a mafiosa kind of threat to him or to his organization if he didn't cough up a laptop that he considers to be part of the forensic probe he's about. What is going on with her?
Her behavior is at the very best strange, at the very worst could merit its own investigation. Sources that I've spoken to have said that her behavior, particularly continuing to keep these people on the payroll for several months after disclosures about their illicit behavior first emerged, that in particular is raising a lot of questions with Congress, and all of its own could merit her resignation, if not potentially more issues with the misapplication of taxpayer funding. Why were we paying these guys who we already knew were involved in illicit criminal activity?
Yeah, it sure sounds that way, doesn't it? Adam, let me switch gears. I know you'll keep up the good work on this. I'm very appreciative of it. And Luke Rosiak at the Daily Caller and even people at Politico who've been trying to keep an eye on this story when so many in the press have been essentially ignoring it, if not actively suppressing it. So carry on, my friend. Let me ask you about one of your other pieces recently. You talked about the State Department being in, quote, open war, unquote, with the White House. This is the subject of my commentary today. What Rex Tillerson seems to be doing practically daily to countermand, if not actually undermine, the president's policies on North Korea and Iran and Qatar and other topics. What is going on with that? And how could it be that the president doesn't see this as, well, a firing offense?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And I think we're getting closer to a lot of these tensions becoming more public and more exposed. But for quite some time, the chatter among sources in the State Department and certainly sources in the West Wing who are forced to deal with the State Department is that under Tillerson, one, career diplomats, those are people who worked under Barack Obama, are holdovers in many cases. They've been granted power. And this is primarily as a result of Tillerson disregarding all White House instruction to fill vacant positions with Trump allies, Trump supporters, those who will carry out his national security and diplomatic agenda. Tillerson has so far refused to do this. In some cases, we've heard him and his staff actually throwing out the physical lists of names that the White House would like to be hired. But it goes much further beyond just the bureaucratic issues, the empty positions. Tillerson's position on a range of key issues, like you mentioned, differs with the White House, and he seems to be pursuing his own rogue policy. I think Iran is a key juncture where we've seen these tensions. The White House, when it was forced to recertify Iran as being in compliance with the nuclear deal just a week or two ago, came into conflict with the State Department. Trump, the president, was literally asking Tillerson, for what reason would I want to recertify Iran as in compliance with this deal when more and more evidence seems to be saying that, in fact, they are not? Tillerson, of course, is pushing for a softer line on Tehran. He got his way this time. It seems that he very likely won't next time. It comes up every 90 days, and it seems that the president has tasked some of his people on the National Security Council with building the argument for decertifying, a battle that Tillerson may end up losing, though he's certainly pushing for them to keep it. Like you mentioned, North Korea is another one. The crisis with Qatar and its terror financing, Tillerson is openly taking a complete opposite approach and position to the White House. And again, he's ignoring their directives and agenda. And it's unclear why he's doing this, what he has to gain from bucking the administration he works for.
Is there any question, Adam Credo, in your sourcing of all of these subjects, that Tillerson himself is part of the problem? This isn't just the rogue Obama holdovers or foreign service officers in his department. He's actually personally aligning himself in this manner at odds with the president's policies.
Yeah, that's certainly what I'm hearing. In this case, it happens to not be a matter of just holdovers and career people running rampant. Tillerson has actually empowered them intentionally. So some of these advisors, particularly on the Middle East, where they've come into conflict with the White House's own policy. I think we've seen that with Israel. We've seen that in Syria, the State Department pursuing different lines. And this very much does come from Tillerson and his top aides, that for some reason they are pursuing this rogue policy. And I think it has a lot to do with Tillerson's own background in the corporate world and Exxon. Certainly with Qatar, we see these connections, and with Iran and his other approach to these issues, it also seems to be because of his background, which does not jibe with the policy goals of this White House.
Very, very troubling stuff. Adam Credo, we appreciate, as always, your description of it, your detailing of it, your analysis of it. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon with updates on these very important topics and others as well. Keep up the good work in the meantime at the Washington Free Beacon. Thanks for your time today. Next up, we'll speak with Stephen Blank about Russia and what policies the administration is pursuing there. and how Putin is responding. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.